Some of the things that you can look at with that is what did I eat? Am I eating things that are harder to digest? Am I chewing things properly too? Because digestion begins in the mouth. But even if you're eating something super simple and that's happening, that's telling us that you just have what we call a digestive insufficiency. You just don't have the right tools to break those nutrients down.
Welcome to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. I am Debbie Robinson, your host and guide on your Stronger Bones lifestyle journey.
My next guest is Kim Heintz. She is an FDN, which is a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, and she primarily helps her clients reverse debilitating gut issues. She has been an FDN since 2019, but her health journey began long before that. In addition to running her business, she is also a top competitor in long-distance mountain biking in the Midwest of the United States, often taking a podium spot. She feels better at 42 than she ever did at 32 and even 22. Her own life-changing experience is what led her to become an FDN so that she could help others experience the same freedom she has. Kim, welcome to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. I'm looking really forward to having this conversation with you today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so I asked you to be on here because you are a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner like myself, and we both strongly believe in the value of functional lab testing. So I'd love to begin a little bit with your story and what even brought you to this place with functional lab testing.
Yeah, well, I dealt with my own, like so many of us in the functional health space, I dealt with my own health issues for a really long time. It started as chronic migraines. I started getting migraines as early as 8 or 9 years old. And when I got into my 20s, they picked up intensity and frequency. And so throughout most of my 20s, I had chronic migraines 3 to 5 times a week until I was 28, when I actually got one that lasted an entire year. And at that point, I had tried all sorts of medications. I was taking 3 separate ones at the same time and getting all the scans done, seeing all the doctors, and was basically told, this is just going to be your life. You've dealt with this for the majority of your life at this point. You're probably just going to have to accept the fact that this is your reality. And fortunately, the year-long migraine ended up going away after a year, but even until into my early 30s, I was still getting them on a pretty frequent basis. They weren't gone. They just weren't showing. It wasn't every day anymore. On top of that, I was dealing with anxiety and depression. And so I was taking medication for that. And, you know, at age 30, I had 7 different medications that I was on for various things. And so I was dealing with insomnia and mood swings and just all sorts of stuff. I actually have done presentations where I list up like 20 different symptoms on a slide. And I'll be like, you know, raise your hand if you have 3 or 5 or what have you. And I had 15 of those symptoms. And so like, I had a myriad of symptoms that were just popping up. And even though I've been an athlete my entire life, like, and I felt like I was doing all the things right, like I felt like my body wasn't really accepting that. And so I was just dealing with that. When I was in, I don't know. It was several years after that. So it's probably mid 30s. I came across a practitioner, or she was promoting like a holiday program for balancing hormones, and really had never been in the functional space, never really paid much attention to it. But her information just really caught my eye. I actually felt like the sales page that she wrote like was written specifically for me. And so I jumped into that program, and that's how I got introduced to the functional space. And I ended up working with her beyond that group program one-on-one. And we worked to balance my hormones and work on my gut and really start to, you know, move the needle. And still at that point, up until then, I'd been getting migraines at least 3 times a week, 4 times a week. And within a couple of months, I saw my migraine frequency drop to maybe once a week, a couple times a month. And within 6 months, like I was maybe getting one a month at the most. Sometimes I'd go a couple of months without getting one. And so this was after 25 years pretty much of dealing with chronic migraines. And so, you know, and I start to see a lot of improvements in other areas of my life. And that was right around the time I found FDN. And I knew like I was on the right path. I knew that we could go deeper. And so I signed up for the program with the intention of really learning more about myself. And as I learned and I started to apply the FDN principles, migraines disappeared entirely. And now it's been almost 6 years since I had a migraine, ever had a migraine. I don't take any medications anymore. Anxiety, depression gone. I sleep great. And I'm 42 years old and I'm an athlete, and I'm faster now at 42 than I ever was in my early 30s. And so like, not only did I see all my health symptoms disappear, but I've also been able to like biohack it and apply it to performance and perform at a greater level.
Yeah, it's internal balance. And that's where I think that there's so many factors that set things off internally. We don't realize that. And then when you start to run these functional labs, we start to see where those imbalances are. We bring in the lifestyle components that bring in balance. And from there, once you are balanced, this is like a miraculous machine, this body of ours, right? When it's optimized, there are no headaches. There are balanced hormones. There is no more bone loss or very minimal, not acceleration of breakdown in the body as we age. So really, yeah, great. And for me, FDN, same thing. I mean, I found it when I was for hormones, but that's one of the things I was looking for. And it's just amazing when you start to do functional lab testing and you get to see where dysfunction is and imbalance, and then how you can improve that. So both of us have kind of gravitated, it seems. We have a myriad of tests at our disposal as functional diagnostic practitioners. And we have a lot of labs at our disposal, but you and I have kind of gravitated, maybe even for different reasons. For me, it's osteoporosis and bone health. For you, probably hormone balance, like perimenopause and gut health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, primarily like gut health and fatigue. Those are the areas that, and hormones are always a secondary piece of that, because there's a hormonal component and all that. But yeah, same thing. Same reason.
Yeah. And you know, if you're dealing with women in their 40s, right, then they're going to come into perimenopause. And then what happens is the number one disease of menopause is osteoporosis. And 50% of the women over age 50 have bone density loss. I mean, that's just a given. So that's what comes next. But if they can get to you, balance their hormones and their gut and all the other things, then they hopefully will not even won't even need me when it comes to bone health. So let's speak then about, you do a lot of work on Instagram. This is what I love, your infographics about gut health and this real importance, like such a, you know, I know that everyone thinks, a lot of people in the Western world say everything begins in the gut. I personally think everything begins in the brain, because I'm a yoga therapist. But from a physiological perspective, really the gut is when the outside world becomes the inside world. And it's where we can actually start to really get into the balance. So can you talk about gut health and all the aspects that are really critical when it comes to looking for that internal balance?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So, and I love how you said that, like how you've put that together about like the outside, what is it? The outside becomes the inside.
Yeah. From mouth to anus is a closed system, maybe 30 feet. And it's still outside. It's in a tube. Once it crosses a mucosal barrier is when it has the potential to become us, which is why 80% of the immune system is there. That's why the liver is going to be so integral in this. And that's why inflammation begins, because that's why, you know, 80% is there. And so, yeah, the outside world becomes our inside world.
Love that.
No, so the lab that you and I both use for this is the GI map, which is a stool lab, which is a clinical lab with all clinical markers. So explain about that, and what are the body systems or the areas that we can really, the information we can glean from that can actually then help us guide our clients towards healing and internal balance.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with what you just mentioned, the immune system. There's some great markers on there that really point to the body's natural immune function. And so if somebody's dealing with you know, something, they know something's not right, or they're constantly getting sick, or their gut's off, and no matter all the healthy eating that they're trying, it's just not working. Well, one of the first things I always like to look at is their immune function depleted? Because if their immune function is depleted, they don't have what I always like to call the army. They don't have the troops to go to battle to support whatever comes in from that outside world into the inside world that they need to battle off. So that's one thing I love about the GI map, is that it does tell us a lot about the immune function. And so some of the other areas that I like to look at on that is next would be like the digestive sufficiency. So if somebody's dealing with a lot of insufficiency within their digestion, and they're not able to break down those nutrients from the outside world into the inside world, like they're not able to absorb those and use those nutrients. And so a lot of times I'll have conversations with people who are saying, you know, I eat super healthy, yet I feel like it's not doing me any good. And well, if you don't have the tools to break down your food to absorb those nutrients, then it's going to be harder for you to get those nutrients, which can, you know, lead to things like hormonal imbalance, because we need those nutrients to be able to generate our hormones and things like that. And so that's where you can start to see some things go off. As far as other areas that I really like to look at is just the different pathogens. So I love the way that the GI map breaks things down, because they section things off by different types of pathogens. And we can make so many different connections to how somebody's feeling just based on alone what kind of pathogen they may have. So for example, there's certain types of bacteria where I talk to a lot of women who deal with a lot of achiness. They just, you know, they're in their 40s. They wake up and they're achy, or they're exercising, they're achy. And so there's certain markers on the GI map that actually can be a precursor, or, you know, we can recognize that they could trigger an autoimmune condition like rheumatoid arthritis, for example. And so a lot of times if someone's dealing with achiness, I like to go look to see, do we have a prevalence of that? Because those inflammation markers are higher, then that really makes a big connection to why they're starting to feel that. And so we're able a lot of times to catch that off at the pass before it becomes a bigger problem. So those are just a few examples of what I love looking at on the GI map. I mean, we could probably talk about the GI map for an entire day if we wanted to and break it down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you said some great things there. So the whole inflammation aspect, on one hand, we actually get to see, is there inflammation? Because there's markers on inflammation. There's overgrowth, or I like to say too many weeds in the garden. There's a lot of overgrowth that would be inflammation. And then there's actually a marker on the health of your immune system in the gut. So a lot, and there's so much out there about inflammation being behind the 80 to 90% or whatever. That's a big thing now. We're realizing the inflammation, or just even noticing that your body is on fire in the first place. So that's what you said. And then those nutrients, digestion, you have a lot of great infographics on your Instagram about this, where you talk about supporting digestion, signs of poor digestion, and then different ways to support digestion. Because if we're not digesting and absorbing the nutrients, we're not building hormones. Don't have sufficient hormones, you're not going to have strong bones. So it really is all of that. And then you need digestion optimized for that. And you need to be able to feed the good gut microbes, the army, the soldiers. Yeah. I say our mucosal barrier is like the fortress around the castle, right? So it's the outside world. The gut is the fortress. And then the inside is your castle, or for me, I say your skeleton or hormones or whatever. I know I'm very visual. It works for me to think of this, but it also works for me to help people understand. And so those soldiers on the outside need to have supplies. They need to be fed and have clothing and have artillery and all of that. So the food that we bring in is going to help the gatekeepers of our fortress, and then it's going to become the building blocks of the internal. So it really is so integral that people have a healthy gut for hormones, for internal balance. And we're going to stick with the GI map, but when we get to the HTMA, I want you to show the correlative factors on that lab that shows us maybe something with digestion or how to support. So your infographics, I'm going to go to that because I love it. Can you just give some symptoms? Like, what could ladies look for? I don't know if you work with men too. I mostly work with women, but What are some symptoms to look for impaired digestion? Like some symptomology?
Yeah. Well, undigested food in the stool is a really big one, right? If you feel like you're eating food and it's just passing straight through you, or you're seeing, you know, last night's dinner in the toilet. I'm not trying to get too graphic here, but you know, when you do, it's telling us that your body is not breaking things down. And so there's something going on that's not able to fully digest and break down the food that you're consuming. And so that's a really easy one. Some of the other ways that we can identify impaired digestion would be things like symptoms that you probably wouldn't even consider, maybe things like fatigue, for example, because if you're not absorbing your nutrients, you don't have that energy coming from the food that you're consuming. And so that can lead to digestion. You know, you can also experience something like stomach pain, for example, because you're eating something and it doesn't feel like, you know, maybe it's a fullness where you're just like, you eat something and it's just, even if you eat a little bit and it's just sitting there in the pit of your stomach and you just feel like you're overstuffed, even if you didn't fully eat like a huge meal or something, or even digestive pain where there's actually some pain that's coming from consuming food. And that's, again, just kind of coming down to the fact that you may not have the body is just not able to process all the stuff that you're putting into it. And so some of the things that you can look at with that is what did I eat? Am I eating things that are harder to digest? Am I chewing things properly too? Because digestion begins in the mouth. But even if you're eating something super simple and that's happening, that's telling us that you just have what we call a digestive insufficiency. You just don't have the right tools to break those nutrients down. So those are some of the signs that we might see with impaired digestion.
Yeah. And then as we age, we lose the ability to produce hydrochloric acid, or there might be some bacteria that's interfering with that as well. So digestion is critical, right? You just said fatigue, and in order for the cells to make energy, they need the ingredients. Like if you're going to bake a cake, you need flour, butter, eggs and sugar, right? I mean, that's a minimum I think you need for a cake, because you need it to rise, you need it to taste sweet, you need the protein structure, and then you probably need a fat source so it'd be a little more tasty. And it's the same thing with our body. In order to build hormones, to build bones, to build muscles, we need the building blocks, and that's going to be with digestion. Yeah. And even if we do look in the, do we all look in the toilet every morning, like, or when we go to the bathroom? I think we all do, right?
So, yeah, I mean, it seems like, I mean, I have plenty of conversations to do. I talk to a lot of people, especially on Instagram, and I have conversations about it frequently. So I do think it's a pretty common thing. It's just where no one's talking about it.
Yeah, it's funny because here in the West, we don't, right? Poop, oh my gosh. And then I have kids. So I would read the book, Everyone Poops, because you want the kids to know everyone poops. But if you're in countries like Asia, like India, a girl I was going to school with, she goes, my parents still call me every day to ask me if I pooped. Because they actually realize that that's a sign of healthy digestion, is to have a daily bowel movement in the morning. But yeah, so looking at your poop and noticing these things. And then really, if you really want to know what's happening in your gut, you've got to run a stool test.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know how many markers there are on the GI map?
I've never counted, but it's like 6 pages of single space lines. So there's a lot of data that we get from that single sample that we collect.
Yeah. And so how would you know without running that? And that's what I say. I know for me, when I first ran functional labs, I was like, wow, like the whole world opened up. It's almost like going down inside and you're like, whoa. And then you have that opportunity to fix what you need to fix. Yeah. So running a stool test for me, I think, is imperative with the women that I work with. I'll try to give general recommendations. You know, we could say this can be, you know, look for this, how you could support digestion. This is how you could look for it. But really, you've got to look deeper. Like in our schooling, they say test, don't guess, right?
Yeah. And definitely, I mean, there's some foundational things that everybody can be doing right out of the gate. But when it, you know, you see parasite cleanses public or promoted online, or people are saying, oh, well, I'm just doing a general detox or gut cleanse or what have you. It's like, you don't really know if you're actually targeting it. And there's different protocols for different types of things that are going to come up on a stool sample test, like a GI map, because and we're going to take different approaches based on what's coming back. And there's also a different priority to things too. Sometimes we're going to go after one thing. You know, I have two people next to each other. They both ran a GI map, but their protocols may look quite different from each other just based on the sheer fact that their data that's coming up on that is quite different from each other. And so there's a prioritization that has to be considered, as well as just the individual markers themselves and what that's telling us about what's going on with that person.
Yeah, I think that's important, right? So probiotics, we're going to be that digestive enzymes. And then you said the priority, right? We're going after this, this, or this, or are we going to support here, here, and here? And then sometimes when you do support here, this will balance out, because the internal balance that we're desiring, sometimes it's like, where's the greatest, you know, where's the squeaky wheel gets the oil? Where can we really focus to then get the healing? I mean, for me, mostly looking at bone loss and reversing bone loss is my real goal with my ladies. But yeah, that's great. The prioritization, the customized supplement approach, and then the customized protocol. This morning I had a call with a lady and she said, well, can't I just go on this parasite? She goes, my nutritionist said that everyone has parasites. Can I just go on this parasite protocol for 9 months? Because then I could get all of these things out of the way. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I would never just give someone a general, you know, product line of this parasite, you know, prepare your body here, do this. I would never, because I want to know, what am I going after? And some things you have to go after, some things might balance on their own. It's crazy. Right.
Yeah. And that may even be like, gosh, doing that for 9 months too. I mean, that just might be too much for her body to handle. If you were to do some testing and figure out what's going on, she may not have the energetic potential to be able to sustain that for 9 months too, without some additional support.
Yeah. And you bring up that like energy, we're using that word again. And fatigue is probably one of the symptoms that most people mark. Like fatigue is really there. And that's what got me into FDN. 47 years old, felt like I was walking through quicksand, could not show up in my life. And why would I feel that way at 47? I mean, what am I going to be like at 67 or 77 if I'm like this now? And then, and you see this, I'm sure, with the ladies you work with, and with the ladies I work with, the increased energy, you know, the energy you notice, right? Wow, I have more energy. But then the energy internally for your body to actually be more energetic, to build hormones, to build muscles, to build bones. So really bringing in the fuel, giving your body, optimizing that. Okay. So let's go on to the mineral lab, because I love that one. And I think you do as well. So what do you love about the HTMA, the hair tissue mineral analysis? What do you love about it?
I geek out over this test. I mean, I love the GI map. The GI map and HTMA together are my two favorite tests of any lab that we run. And some of the things that I love about HTMA is it tells us so much about what's going on inside us. It tells us about our adrenal health, our hormone health. It tells us about our metabolic function, our metabolism, our energy systems. It tells us about whether or not we have like enough, I'm trying to think of the right word, our blood sugar. I'm trying to think of different ones with the blood sugar too. It also tells us if like we're super depleted. And that's something that if we talk about a little bit about digestive health is like, if we're not breaking down our nutrients, a lot of times if I see like digestive insufficiency on a GI map, I'm going to guess that they probably are fairly depleted on an HTMA. And so, cause they're not getting those nutrients. And so we see that, you know, the cells, I almost like to think of them as almost like they're hungry a little bit, because they're not getting, you know, HTMA is what is going on inside the cells, because it's the hair sample. And so when we see somebody who's super depleted, like we can see that, you know, their cells are maybe a little hungry because all those nutrients aren't getting inside the cell that need to be in there, which can cause things like fatigue. And so it gives us a lot of answers about things going on with people, like some of their common complaints too. And so a lot of times, even within the first few minutes of reviewing an HTMA with a client, we're able to give them so many different answers and ahas just by talking about some of the high level stuff. And then when we get in even deeper, because you can, the HTMA is something that you can go down a pretty deep rabbit hole with, like we just see and are able to connect so many dots to how somebody's feeling.
Yeah. Do you find that you're seeing like a majority of the people? Like, I know that they say there's slow oxidation and fast oxidation. Those are two of the oxidative rates that we look at on a hair mineral. And so they're saying 80% of the population is in the slow oxidation category. You know, whereas I think before, like babies start off as fast oxidizers, then they move over to slow. And I think even in some of the research that I've looked at with HTMA, it used to be less, like there was more fast or not as much slow, because we're really burned out. We have a lot of stress and a lot of stress in the body. But what I find out in my population, because I'm so specific of menopausal females with osteoporosis, that I see larger percentages of the same findings. Like I actually find a lot of four lows patterns. Do you find a lot of four lows in your population?
I have been seeing way more four lows in the last, I'd say, year and a half as well. Slow oxidation, like you said, like 80%, they say that 80% of the population's slow oxidizers, but like with who I'm working with now, I would say that it's probably split almost 50-50 right now with slow oxidation and four lows. And then I get a few fast oxidizers here and there.
Yeah, I get fast oxidizers that are at the end where they're going to go into slow oxidation. And for those listening, when we say four lows, we really, the first hair mineral, we look at the four macro minerals. And those four macro minerals, wherever they are, we're supporting, we need to bring that balance in. So four lows means you're low on all the four primary or macro minerals, calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium. I've almost never seen someone great with potassium. And I always said, you see that sodium marker. So the sodium marker, I was just reading about this, and because you geek out, you're probably really know your stuff with this, that sodium is so important for HCl production, for the hydrochloric acid digestive juices production.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there was all that talk about blood pressure and eat salt. So I find a lot of people have shied, or my population anyway, shied away from salt. Yet I see lots of low sodium on my labs, is mostly what I see is low sodium, a lot of low.
I see a lot of low sodium too.
Mm-hmm. And potassium.
Yeah. A lot of low. I've seen potassium super high on just a couple of them, but I would say, 99% of the HTMAs I've run have been pretty low, pretty tanked out potassium, sometimes like one, like basically at the very bottom of the chart.
Double carrots. It's double carrots. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a one, like the optimal is 10, and you're get people in the really low, like one. I mean, I'm always suggesting potassium support, but then you'll have those double carrots. And then the progression of minerals, I think that's another cool thing, is that the minerals are like the basics. You know, I know we use that word spark plugs over and over. They're kind of the workings of the internal body. We need those. And maybe we're people that don't have this knowledge. People have heard of electrolytes, and we know about Gatorade, and not that that's a good drink, I know, but when people are doing races and stuff, we're always trying to replenish their electrolytes, because it's so important for athletes to actually have those basic aspects of health and functionality of the body. I mean, for optimizing yourself when you're doing sports, but for, you know, Susie Q, who's just an average person, not doing a mountain bike up and down the hill, but just to live everyday life, we need those basics. And so with the hair mineral, that whole progression, you know, we could see like where the progression is. Yeah, I love the hair mineral. I love to retest the hair mineral, because I love to see the shifting.
Oh yeah, I agree. I love seeing what, the cool thing about the shifting is that it can have, things can change pretty quickly. Like we usually do like a 90-day protocol. So we're usually retesting it about the 4-month mark if somebody's, you know, titrating up on the recommendations. And we can see some pretty big shifts in not just the results, but also the symptoms. We see such a dramatic change, especially in like energy. Fatigue is usually the first thing that people see start to shift for them when we're addressing an HTMA, because like you said, like minerals are the spark plugs of the body. Another way I like to explain it too is it's almost like the lubricant that makes a machine run, because minerals are so heavily involved in all aspects of health. Like they're involved in digestion and hormone production and just thyroid function and just everything. We need minerals for literally everything that we do. And if you're super depleted or you have a major imbalance between some of these nutrients, the energy just isn't getting to where it needs to go. And so when we start to just turn that dial a little bit, people, you know, the machine starts to work more optimally, and they feel that in how they're showing up and in how they're just, you know, overall just feeling. They almost feel like a veil has been lifted a little bit, or a cloud has been lifted from them, because they're seeing their nutrients are starting to get nourished the way that their cells are starting to get nourished the way that they're supposed to.
What an amazing concept, right? That you know, it's funny. So bone loss, osteopenia is the precursor to osteoporosis. Osteopenia means bone poverty. Osteo is bone, penia is poverty. And we're talking about cellular poverty when we're speaking about imbalance or not enough nutrients for cells. I'd like to ask you this question. You tell me what you think about this. I have women coming to me on multivitamins. You know, and a multivitamin just has everything in it, not enough of these things or those things. And because minerals work antagonistically and synergistically, they're like the gas pedals and the brakes, you know, the turn on and the turn off switches. If you just flood the system with so many vitamins and minerals, you're kind of on, kind of exacerbating the problem. So tell me about what your thoughts are about that, about multivitamins, and what is it that we need to be careful of? Why is it important that we just don't reach for a multivitamin off the shelf?
Yeah, and I do see this a lot too. And I think it's just a common recommendation to just get on a multivitamin so you can get the nutrients that you need. But one of the problems is that there's certain, especially we see this through HTMA testing, is that there are certain nutrients that like somebody may have too much of, for example, and it's showing a buildup of that. And so a lot of times we might see something like calcium, for example. And calcium buildup in a hair test doesn't necessarily mean that they're getting too much calcium into their bones. It actually might mean that they're not getting enough into their bones, and it's actually building up in the wrong places, like the tissues, for example. So that's one problem, is that you have no control over what you're putting in, and you could be actually continuing to contribute to an issue that's already there. Secondly, the other thing I don't like about multivitamins is that there's different forms of minerals and vitamins, and not all of these forms are created equal. And so you may have a form inside a multivitamin of different nutrients that is not absorbable by the body, or are not very absorbable. And so you're consuming this thinking, hey, I'm doing this really good thing for my body, but you're probably absorbing a very small amount of that and actually getting very little benefit from it. And I've actually had people where their multivitamin was actually contributing to GI distress that they were dealing with. And we removed the multivitamin and their GI issues just went away. And so something in that formula that they were taking just was not sitting well with them. And so there, it could have just been the type of nutrient that was in there, the form. And so we have to be real careful, I think, when we put something like that into our bodies because of both those reasons.
Yeah. And I find that it's so hard for me to find, I don't even have a multi. I was just met with someone this morning. I'm like, okay, well, I want you to have magnesium and K for your bones, but I don't want you to have calcium because that's one of the minerals we see on the hair mineral. And it should be at a certain level. But most of it should be in the bones, 99%. So when you start to see those elevated levels, you know that it's not where it belongs. Same thing with, you know, some of the other ones. And I cannot find a bone formulation that does not have calcium in it. And honestly, that's my population. I think I recommend calcium supplements maybe only 40% of the time. And women, they're on vitamin D and calcium. And then vitamin D, when you take high levels of vitamin D, you're now going to have an effect on potassium and magnesium. And you need those to make your calcium absorbable. And yeah, it's taking shots in the dark without this deeper look.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're getting we've been told this, you know, like vitamin D is another one, like you just said, like we get told, hey, take calcium, take vitamin D, take a multivitamin, and you're doing this because in the name of good health and trying to feel better. But a lot of times it's without looking at the status of what's really, what your body's actually telling us, it could be contributing. It might take a while, but it might continue to just have that downward slope where you start feeling worse and worse, and you don't realize that these things that you're taking for good may actually be the thing that's driving you further away from your goals.
Right. And with vitamin D and with calcium and the bone, for me, I work with bones. That's why I just keep talking about that. And you might have specific nutrients you focus on more. But I'll show them, okay, here's your supplement, all the lists of supplements you told me. Wow, you've got 1,000 IUs of vitamin D here, and you've got 2,000 over here, and you've got this. So you're actually taking 5,000 or 6,000 IUs. You know, they say, oh, I'm only taking 2,000. No, but this formula has it, this formula has it, this formula has it. Or calcium, I see that with calcium a lot. And then I have a hair mineral, and I see these accelerated levels of calcium. And another thing that I'd like to, that I have such issues with is, you know, I know that not everybody thinks that they want to spend money and they want to use health insurance for things. But unfortunately, it's a broken system out there. The medical system manages the disease. So if you do have a disease, if you have biomarkers that say, here's your disease, then they're going to give you a medication to manage that, right? They're not right. giving you all this functional approach to health. But what drives me crazy is someone will say, oh, I sent away for a hair mineral test, and then they get the results and they're looking at this thing and they're like, it takes years to interpret the data on this, right? It's really hard. Somebody looks at it and you don't know, you see all these lines and these bars. And so it really, you have to work with someone that knows what they're doing and has this experience and is able to create the protocols specific to you, customized to you.
Yeah, I see that a lot. There's a couple of Facebook groups that I'm in that, you know, you can buy a hair tissue mineral analysis online for, you know, fairly inexpensive, but it unfortunately, like you're right, it's not something you can read at face value and you need that expertise. It's not something that you can be like, oh, this number's high, I need more of, or I need less of this, or this number's low, I need more of this. Sometimes a high number means a high bar on the graph of the HTMA actually means that you're actually super deficient in it, and vice versa. And so there's so many sneaky things that can show up, and that without a trained eye, you may miss those things. And so, yeah, you might be saving a little bit of money by ordering it yourself, but if you don't know how to do anything with the data, you're actually losing money on that situation, because, you know, you just have a piece of paper that you aren't really sure what to do with.
And then you're taking a multivitamin, which is contributing to your imbalance. And then your gut health might not be optimized, and you're peeing and pooping out the vitamins you're spending money on. Yeah, I take ladies off of a lot of what they're on. And yeah. My population is on a lot of supplements when they come to me.
Yeah.
So,
same.
Yeah. Because we're all trying. I mean, we're trying to do the best that we can. And if we would stop, slow down, invest in running functional labs and looking at finding that internal balance, then you get on that track. All right, so there was something else I was just thinking of asking you about. Oh, toxic metals. So when with the HTMA, not only do we get the minerals, we then also get some toxic metals that show up. So can you just talk a little bit about how, you know, what we see on a first HTMA, and then how maybe we could see different things on subsequent, and what let the healing opportunities that are opened up for us once we balance minerals to then start figuring out some of the toxic markers.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because you do see also people promoting like heavy metal detoxes and things like that, and that can get us in quite a bit of trouble if we're lacking the nutrients, the energy like we've been talking about for the last half hour or so. And so heavy metals on a first HTMA, a lot of times you're not going to see a whole lot. Sometimes you do, especially if you're having like a pretty big exposure to it, you might see one of these metals fairly, you know, a bar on the graph, fairly elevated for that metal. But a lot of times you don't. And the reason for that is that if your nutrients are so out of balance, like if you're in that four lows pattern, like we were talking about, or the slow oxidation, for example, which is where the majority of people tend to be, your body doesn't have the energy to be moving metals out because there's this push-pull relationship with minerals and heavy metals. And so if you're already low in minerals, it doesn't have that energy to push out, start to naturally nudge, gently nudge out some of those metals. And so on a first test, you may not see a whole lot of heavy metals. If you do see something, it just means, hey, I need to go take a deeper look at where am I getting exposed to this metal? You know, if it's like one I see a lot is like mercury. Am I eating a lot of fish, for example? So if I'm eating a lot of fish and my mercury is pretty high, maybe that means I need to cut back on fish. It doesn't mean to do like a heavy metal detox for mercury at that point in time, especially if you're pretty imbalanced. On a second test, as we've started to increase the energetic potential within the body with those cells, you might actually start to see some of these metals, those levels start to go up. And it doesn't mean, oh my gosh, I've been exposed to so many more metals. It means that your body has the energy now to start to just push those out, because a hair test, a hair mineral test is hair. So the way that it starts to excrete that is through the hair. And so we start to see your body starting to do the work of getting rid of some of these toxic metals. And so at that time, it may not be that you're all of a sudden exposed to more metals. It just might mean that your body is starting to do what it's supposed to do to protect you from those and get rid of those.
Yeah, it's like hide and seek, and it's coming out now. And that's a great way, what you just said. The hair is outside the body. It's cells that came out, and it's a pathway of elimination. And we don't want heavy metals from a bone perspective. Lead will displace calcium in the bones. It will take up a spot in the bones and be stored there, because toxic metals are toxic, and our body has like creative ways of either hiding it or storing it. And so we want to excrete it, but you can't just go on a detox and expect that your body has the energy to do that. Then when you are getting rid of those metals, you have to manage those properly. And so you could get really sick. You want to make sure you're binding them properly to get them out. So, you know, it's, I guess my whole point, Kim, of having you here, a big aspect of sharing this information is that this isn't just running labs and even trying to do it yourself and trying to figure things out, and that getting that internal balance, whether it's through the gut, as we spoke about, from a protection perspective, from making sure that you're protecting your inside world, getting to the outside of your fortress and making sure. And then when we talk about the hair mineral, making sure you have that energetic potential for your body to be optimized, not just to be healthy, but to actually do its job of detoxification and keeping you protected from a detoxing place. So, yeah. And you know, I don't know that I've thought of those two labs in the way that I just spoke about them with you, but that's really the way that I see it. Like, make sure nothing gets inside, or make sure you're outside before your inside is optimized. And then make sure you have the energy inside so that whatever does come over the fortress can be managed and dealt with and pushed out. Mm-hmm. So it's having a beautiful, shiny castle.
I love how you put that. I do. I think that's, and it's so true. I mean, those two labs, I think, are just, if you can run any two labs, those can really protect your fortress and allow you to, if your fortress is compromised, get that rebuilt back up. So like you said, have a shiny castle.
Well, it's a good way to look at it. And I talk about skeleton. So your castle could be your skeleton. And you know, for those that diagnosed with osteoporosis, especially because that's the disease state of bone loss, and even osteopenia. And this is where I was at 50. Your bones, most of us don't even think about them. But if you get a diagnosis, or for me, I had a collapsed hip joint at 50. You start to go inside and visualize your bones, and you just like, you never thought about them before. And now here is a structure that's holding you up, but you're like visualizing them breaking or snapping or being fragile. And that's your framework. It's like, you know, if a house, like you saw a house in the process of being built and all you saw was the wooden structure, but then you realize it's infested with termites. You could, that strong structure of wood, if they told you, oh, but it's infested with termites, you immediately think, uh-oh, it might collapse, right? Right. And that's how you feel about your body. You feel that you're infested with termites and that you're going to just snap or break. So it is something that eventually, you know, that's the 50% of the population over 50 has that, and 27% has osteoporosis. So really, really important that we do all that we can to rebuild our structure, to think about ourselves as this, you know, the outside world of protection. So yeah. All right, Kim. So how can ladies find you?
Yeah, I hang out primarily on Instagram. My Instagram handle is just my name, so kim.heinz. And I'm very
spell
active
that.
There.
Spell it for us.
Yeah, so Kim, just K-I-M, and then dot, and then Heinz is H-E-I-N-T-Z. And I'm very active there, so reach out. We're gonna come join the conversation and send me a message if you want. I'm happy to chat with you. And then I also have a website, which is also my name, so kimheinz.com, and lots of resources on there. We dive into some, I've got information about testing, like the testing that we've talked about here today. And there's also a way to be able to book a consultation if you're interested.
Great. Well, yeah, let me know what's happening. And I'd love to do something with you in the future too, because I just, yeah. I've not met anyone else yet that those are the two labs that they've gravitated towards. But for me, those are my favorites also. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we could probably do multiple episodes just diving into the various aspects of both those labs, because there's so much good information you can glean from those two alone.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do that. And then we'll use that in our program. So we'll have like, here's the interpretation of the GI map. Here's how to interpret the hair mineral. All right, Kim. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great day.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. Bone loss is not an inevitable part of aging. We don't have to just wait for it to happen. There is so much that you can do. And that is what you will learn each week on the show. Go to my website, debbierobinson.com. If you want more information about what was shared in today's episode, at the bottom of this episode in the show notes, there will be links to whatever was shared. Please subscribe to this podcast. Share this podcast with your friends, your family, or any women that you think may be interested or benefit from the information we're sharing. Please rate the podcast. And if you have any questions you'd like asked or answered, I would love to hear from you. Let's do this, ladies. Let's change the way the world views osteoporosis and slow down, stop, or reverse our bone loss, take charge, and show other ladies what is possible. Thank you so much for joining me.